Faith, the Tooth Fairy, and you.
Brian Zachary Mayer, I help the spiritual but not religious.
There's a chance this spiritual religious thing is not what you think.
You get to choose who you are in this world, and that's enough, and that's awesome.
The less you believe everything you think, the better.
I'm ready, you're ready, let's dive in.
Last week, still a few weeks away from her 10th birthday, Annie lost a tooth and her belief in the Tooth Fairy in the same night. Her absolute faith that the Tooth Fairy and her father weren't the same person became evident when she and I sat on a couch at a friend's house after she overheard some conversation and put two and two together. When we arrived home, Jane and I made the decision to allow Annie to watch some extra television shows so she could go to sleep very tired. She fell asleep in my bed, and when I moved her to her bed, put a $5 bill under her pillow. She woke in the morning, came into my bedroom with Lammy, her favorite lovey. She was incensed. I had wanted two $2 bills, she told me. Something moved me to pick up Joe Bear, a little black teddy bear that I sometimes will sleep with. And I had a conversation between Joe Bear, Lammy, Annie, and I, in which Joe Bear explained exactly what he had wanted, and Lammy explained that sometimes the Tooth Fairy is not able to give you exactly what it is that you want. We continued this play and conversation as we went downstairs with Annie explaining to Joe Bear, it's okay to believe in the Tooth Fairy even if the Tooth Fairy isn't really, really real. A few moments after breakfast, Annie laid down and fell asleep on the booth in our kitchen. It's exhausting, growing is. It happened differently with Emmett. Emmett was at a sleepover one night when he was around 11 years old, and he lost a tooth. We explained to him that the Tooth Fairy didn't make house calls. And unfortunately, or unconsciously, the next night when he had returned home, we forgot to put money under his pillow. We explained to him in the morning, obviously the Tooth Fairy had gotten confused as he had spent the night over at his friend Sam's house and he was back at home, and it would be assured the Tooth Fairy would have figured it out by the next morning. And Jane and I forgot again. Emmett caught me trying to sneak a $2 bill under his pillow. He was upset. He raced off to the dining room to sit by himself in the morning, not wanting to talk with us. I walked with him on the way to school, and he brought his tooth with him. Not certain what he was going to do with the tooth, but he didn't want the $2. It didn't feel right. When I came to pick him up, he held in his hand a tooth. He says, "Look, Dad, I lost another tooth. This isn't the one I lost the other night. This was a different one. The one that I lost the other night, I lost somewhere at school. But I lost another one." And then he stared me straight in the eyes. And he said, "What do you say we do it honestly and you just hand me the $2 right now and we buy some candy?" This all reminds me of the story of Plato's caves. In Plato's caves, there are the people who live in the caves and they can only see shadows. They come out of the cave one day to see the sun. And they can't truly believe what it is that they're seeing. Every person who's ever heard the story of Plato's caves understands the problem. When you see the sun, when you see truth, and it's not what you're used to, you want nothing more than to go back into the cave to sit where you were comfortable. I wonder about you. Is there some truth, some reality that you just don't want to see, but it's right there in front of your eyes? Are you acting willfully ignorant, believing something even though you know it's really, really not really real?
Hey, this is Rabbi Brian in post-production. I just thought of how this is. I know a gentleman who just got accused of and is being arraigned on counts of child molestation. And I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it. I just don't. I think we all have this kind of feeling. My friend Michael's cancer is much worse than it was. And, well, I just don't want to deal with it. This is what we do as human beings. We want to go back into the cave. We just don't want to deal when we see things we don't want to see. But we know we must. And maybe part of having a clean spiritual life is adapting faster and seeing the world for what it is sooner.
I can tell you about myself right now. In the last 7 days, there have been two incidents in which I have felt crippling anxiety without a cause. Once walking across the bridge at PDX, we were going to drop my mother off for her flight to New York, and we're walking on the bridge under the covered roadway, and I held on to Jane. I said, "Something's wrong. I don't know what's going on." And not an hour later, I got a phone call about some pretty bad news. And then last night, the same thing happened. I was awoken at 4:30 in the morning with horrible anxiety. And I raced through my mind to figure out what it was I was anxious about. But I realized I was already anxious. It wasn't that I needed to find the thing I was anxious about. I was anxious. And were I to find the thing I was anxious about, I would just be ascribing a story. I would be putting the cart before the horse. I was anxious not because I was thinking of the thing. I was trying to think of the thing to justify my anxiety. And then when I woke up this morning, I woke up to a series of text messages that I didn't get because my phone is on Do Not Disturb until 7 in the morning. And at 7 in the morning, I received a flurry of texts about that thing that I should have, the thing that was causing my anxiety. Ernest Hemingway said, "I don't like writing, I like having written." And that's our spiritual life for you. Nobody likes transforming like my kids had to do, like I'm in the process of doing. No one likes transforming. We like having been transformed. I'm rational. I'm logical. I taught mathematics. I was studying to be an architect. But my faith journey is pushing me to see that there's a connectedness that doesn't make full sense to me. If you'd like to explore your theology, I'd like to recommend this book, my fun theology workbook, Finding Out What the God of Your Understanding Wants From You. It's a book that I wrote to help people to figure out what it is that they no longer believe in and to figure out what it is that they do believe in. As you can tell, it's kind of fun. This is only the second theology workbook on the market. The first one kind of pushes people towards Jesus. This one pushes you to find out what the God of your understanding wants from you. I highly recommend it. Makes a great gift. Also, shout out to my friends at Georgetown Brewery, the ones who make this, Bodhisattva Indian Pale Ale. It's my favorite beer. Send them a little note. Tell them Rabbi Brian sent you.
Rabbi Brian's Guide to Learning Patience While Not Fucking Punching Someone. Look for it at rotb.org.